Let's quickly get into this evening's teaching because it's our last day. So I want to tell us to use as much as we can of the opportunity that we have to release the word of life into the hearts of the people of God. And I trust that everyone present this evening will be transformed by them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, quickly, if you have your Bibles, bring them out. If it's on a tab, bring out the tab. If it's on your phone, make sure your phone is on flight mode. Please do not let your phone ring while we are. Don't put it on silent. Make sure it's not receiving signals. You know, I keep emphasizing that. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Truly, I'm happy to see you this evening. I don't know. And again, I'm feeling very anointed. If I feel like preaching, somebody tell me preach. All right. All right, I have a title for this evening's meeting, and I call it the law of faith. The law of faith. I've been talking about different things. The first day, of course, our seminar is titled How to Change Your Life. And I explained at the point in time how curses work. And I needed to explain that mainly so as to let people understand that they are not bound to them. It is not as if it's something, because it's a very common mindset that people have. They think that, yes, there are problems in my life and there's nothing I can do about it because it's a curse. And I'm saying, number one, in Christ Jesus, every curse has been broken. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
And then I said, number two, everything, every work you do in life, every thought process, which is actually the foundation for what you do, has something attached to it. It can be a curse, it can be a blessing. So sometimes people buy curses for themselves. I will give you an example of the life of Gehazi. That Elisha gave a prophecy concerning Gehazi and his descendants. And we said that descendants are not just those who are born of somebody. And in fact, if you are born of that person, if you don't do the work of that person, you are not a true descendant. That you are not a descendant of Abraham if you are not doing the work of Abraham. If you are not walking by faith, you are not a true descendant of Abraham. So if you can also be, in the same manner, a descendant of Gehazi, even though you never went near his physical generations. If you are doing the work of Gehazi, if you will go behind and twist something, especially against the Lord's anointed, and there are different ways, it doesn't have to be a preacher, so as to use somebody else's name to gain profit for yourself, then you are begging for the curse of Gehazi. And that curse is called the leprosy of Naaman. We say, what is the leprosy of Naaman? It is a bot that comes into every success you have in life. You are a victorious man, you are a general in the Syrian army, everything is going on well in your life, but he was a leper. So that but that comes into somebody's life is part of, it's what you call the Naaman's leprosy, which is stuck to every descendant of Gehazi. For that reason, every Christian, and that's why we read from that book of Psalms, all right, the one we read yesterday as our main text, chapter 34. That David now said, come, you children, listen to me. Let me teach you the things that have blessings attached to them. That's what we are saying. That let me not, don't walk in a manner that has a curse attached. Let me teach you the things that have blessings attached. What that means is this. You can walk out of a curse even though they claim it's upon your family. But most importantly for us Christians, everything that we have done, God has wiped them away through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we've been emphasizing. So we can walk away from it. So every failure in life right now for Christians can never be tied to that kind of hereditary curse. You have to look at your life now, not yesterday. You look at your life now because yesterday has been wiped away by the blood of Jesus. Yesterday has been wiped away by the sacrifice on the cross. Now is what we are talking about. What are you doing with your life today? There are things you do, thought patterns, you understand, that determine what you do, and those things can bring forth a blessing, or they may repel a blessing. So if you don't have a blessing in your life today, you look at your life. You don't look at the generations. The work of the previous generations, if you don't do the same works, you are free. You are free. You are free. Sometimes people in families, they learn things from their parents, all right? And people say the thing is genetic. It's not actually genetic. It's just a habit that people learn in a particular home. You grow up in a home where they don't have respect for elders. Your mother doesn't respect your father. Your father doesn't respect your grandfather. Nobody respects anybody. And you come into life and you are surprised that there's no favor for you. Do you understand my point? You work hard, yet you don't receive favor. Why will you receive favor? You came out of a background which Jesus tried to wipe away from you, but you refuse to unlearn the bad habits. It's those bad habits that keep on bringing curses into people's lives. You see that you go around, I can't talk to anybody, I know they fear anybody, and you think it's a sign of boldness, when it's actually a sign of stupidity. It's a sign that you will not receive favor, all right? You don't know how to say thank you. You don't know how to bow before those who are older than you, who are senior to you, and you keep on saying that you raise your shoulder. Even though you're a Christian, you are doing things that are bringing forth curses into your life, and that's what we're talking about. So when you walk away from those things, that's why Peter said that we should apply diligence to everything, all right? Add to your faith, you know, virtue. You must use diligence to bring right things into your life. So David said in that Psalm 34, he said, come you children, listen to me, and I will do what? I will teach you the fear of God. In essence, I will teach you the things that bring forth blessings into the lives of people. People especially that God has blessed. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. So this thing about how do you change your life, if you're in a particular situation right now, there is a reason why you are there. It is not because of an ancestral curse. Because as a Christian, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. If those blessings are not manifesting, it is because there is a hindrance. It is because there is a hindrance. It is because there is a hindrance. If you go and read the book of Isaiah chapter 40, it said it like this, bring down the mountains, elevate the valleys, make a smooth pathway for the Lord in the wilderness, and then automatically the glory of God will be revealed. If the glory of God is not being revealed, it is because you have not yet made that smooth pathway for the Lord in the wilderness. It is not because you are cursed. It is not because there is a hereditary problem. It is because now, today, you have not made a smooth way for the Lord in the wilderness. That's what I'm emphasizing all of these things. Are you getting my point? That is a problem with a lot of people, you know, Africans. They keep on thinking it's because you're a black man. You know, I was talking with Israel the other day. You know, I was reading the story of Booker T. Washington. In case you don't know about Booker T. Washington, just go and Google it up after, and I don't have time to discuss that. But some of these black history figures in the United States of America. And when I read the story of Booker T. Washington, I told Israel, I said, listen, the black people in America blame the white people for every bad thing. True of us? True. They do that a lot. They're always doing that. The black, currently, there's another story I read today now of a black man, young man, that was shot as he was entering his apartment building by a white police officer. Story don't start again. That is the third one over the last few weeks, you understand? And they keep on magnifying these things, magnifying all of those things. And I looked at it, I said, Israel, look at this. Booker T. Washington, just to say something briefly about him, was a man, he was not into activism. He believed that the way you can bring the black man out of the situation he's in is to educate him. Do you understand? Because no matter how much a white man wants to respect him, you will not have much respect for a man that's stupid. Do you understand what I'm saying? You talk to him, he can't hold a good conversation. You can't give him a high-ranking job. So Booker T. Washington said, no, activism is good. Fighting for equal rights is okay. But he didn't believe in that. He believed that his own plan was a long-term plan. That is, over the next few generations, let us build a black race intellectually. Let us build them economically. Let us teach them how to do business. Let them become strong in finances. Then you can start talking about equal rights. That was his own approach. Now, this is what interested me about it, which was what I was discussing with Israel. I said, I noticed that all that he's working about, all the efforts were funded by white people. That's what I'm going to. That is, we talk about the white people, the black people talk about them as if the only thing they ever did is bad. And I read, I said, but for goodness sake, you understand? These white people, it's not only bad things they do. They were the ones that funded the efforts of Booker T. Washington. They will give him money to try and establish schools. I said, why do we only remember the bad ones and forget the good people? But listen, it's a problem of human beings. You are always looking for who to blame. And I dare say to you, the reason why the black man in America may be down, maybe, I don't know whether it's down or not, is not because of the white people. It is not. It is because of whatever it is they are right now. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. You can never put your problems of somebody else outside there. Your problems are a consequence of what you are right now. You may have a history behind you, I know. But your problems are a consequence of what you are right now. And you must acknowledge that. Once you are pointing fingers at people, you are not yet ready for freedom. Let me say it again. Once you are pointing fingers at people, you are not yet ready for freedom. No matter how right you think you are, as long as you are still looking out there, this is the cause of my problem. There are still people who still Christians. My God, may you never say that again. There are those who still look back and still think the problem in their lives is because of a curse somebody placed over their family generations ago. And this is why I said it before. I said it one more time. You are looking for trouble. If you go to the village to dig up anything that was buried, if you acknowledge the fact that something was buried against you and is the reason why you are not doing well today, you are saying that Jesus did not die effectively for you, number one, or you are confessing that you are still a sinner. Nobody who is looking for deliverance from a tree in the village has believed. If you have believed, you are walking in sin. And number one sin is total ignorance. All those deliverances, they are organized for you every time to go to the village, all right? A band of jobless people who are looking for your money will be fasting on your behalf. You live in Lagos. You live in Abuja. You live in Enugu. You live in Port Harcourt. They go to your village somewhere deep in the Amokwe there. You understand my point? To go and pray against a tree that you claim is afflicting you. It is because you are a sinner. And one of the major sins I'm talking about today is the sin of ignorance. Either you have not believed or they are just taking advantage of you. Listen to me. All those people that do those things, number one, most of them know they are lying. It's business. It's money. A few think they are doing what is right, but they are totally ignorant. The truth is that your deliverance, you never saw anybody that Jesus said, go to the village and go and uproot your umbilical cord. There are churches that talk that nonsense. I said in the presence of God and your hearing today, it is nonsense. Where they buried your umbilical cord is of no consequence. If a dog ate a piece of it, gave the rat to his rat, the rat his neighbor, and left a bit for the cat that ate the rat, are you getting my point? And all the animal kingdom shared your umbilical cord, it means nothing. Do you think we are doing fetishism here? You think, you know, anyway, the problem is a lot of those people are babalawos that wore suit. Yes, DBS that bought suit. That is what the problem is. These guys are DBS that bought suits. That is why they come to church and be telling you, where's the umbilical cord buried? I don't care who the person is, and I don't care the testimony he's giving. It's a liar. A Christian can never be bound by the position of the umbilical cord. If your mother ate your placenta, it was poverty. She has been forgiven. You hear what I said? If your mother ate your placenta, now poverty. Let's forgive her. Sometimes it's ignorance. Nobody can sell your destiny because of the position of umbilical cord. If any man or any woman be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. All umbilical cords have passed away. All placentas have passed away. Behold, the fellow has become new. I'll be hearing what I'm saying. Don't let anybody make merchandise of your souls. Are you getting my point? Use that money you will have given deliverance minister to go and buy a book. In fact, let me recommend one of my books for you again. It is titled, By Faith, Acquire Life. Part of what's inside that book that I'm going to teach this evening. By Faith, Acquire Life. Do not let, listen to me, any confused prophet make a merchandise of your soul. The money you will have used to pay for deliverance and support those who will fast on your behalf so that they can break their fast. Use that money, enter a bookshop, buy books, go to my website, buy data and download messages. They are free. Download books. There are many ministers who their materials are free on the web. Go there, collect those materials and read and get liberty for your soul. I like to always define who a false prophet is. Before I go on with my main message today, let me do it again. A false prophet. Now, before I tell you who it is, I'm not going to mention any name, so don't worry. There are two types of false prophets. There are two types. There is a prophet that is false. He knows it. He is false. He's in this thing for business. One of our brothers came around today. He has gone back to Port Harcourt. He said when he got to Port Harcourt, he said there are churches in which they bury babies for power. They bury fowl, goats, all those kind of things. He even told me one I found unbelievable. Now, such people are available. They call them, they are false prophets. They know they are false. They know. Even that Baba, I mentioned his name in Lagos. He knows he's false. If those of you who are following him that don't realize he knows he's false, he will never tell me he's a true prophet because he knows I know he's false. He knows those who know that he's false. That's one group of false prophets. They know they are false. This is business. I have to prescribe therapy. I have to sell you a bottle of holy water for 5,000 naira. My photograph is not free. If I autograph it to put into your room, you understand? You pay money for it. It's business. I got to build a house. Come on. You know, just now, as I was driving down, two of my children were with me. We passed one nice, this kind of, like a concept car, one of these funny cars Americans drive. We passed on the road. So I told my children, I said, hey, look at that car. The smaller one said, wow, that's a baby I got to have. I had a very good laugh. He said, how much is it? Little guy is 7 years old. Tell him the car is a baby he has to have. So sometimes when the prophet realizes a baby he's got to have, you understand my point? Where's the money going to come from? It's from the muggles in the society looking for deliverance. That's where the baby will come from. You understand my point? So there's one group of false prophets. And unfortunately, Christians still flock there. Number two group of false prophets, they don't know better. They're as confused as the person looking for deliverance. He needs serious deliverance from ignorance. In fact, Apostle was telling me earlier that one man went to church, he was in a conference. You're going to laugh when I tell you this. He went for a conference. Ministers, no, a school, kind of. And ministers were there. So one guy beside him, a preacher, maybe an associate pastor in the church, his phone rang. The man picked the phone. And this man said he was surprised to hear the man say, tell him, there, look, I'm not feeling well. I did hospital. And the man, church where they are doing Christian seminar, like this. So he looked at the man and like, what? So the man looked at him and said, you well now, you day here. Because he knew what was going to this man's mind. He said, my friend, all of us are sick. All of us here. Suddenly I realized what the man was saying. That listen, I am sick. I have come for healing. It was in a place where the word of God was being taught. So he said, tell them I'm sick. I'm in hospital. He quenched his phone. Don't disturb me. I've come for deliverance. This was somebody who realized he needed deliverance from ignorance. So as far as he was concerned, his ignorance was a disease. So this, to him, is a healing school. So when someone was disturbing, he said, tell him, I am sick. I'm undergoing transfusion currently. The word of God is being transfused into my system. Many false prophets are sick in that area. They need deliverance from ignorance. That's the second one. And many of those second types, please take my message to them. They are confused. And this is who a false prophet is. Now, you see, there are two types of fallacy now. You understand? A prophet can be false two ways. One, he can be false because he knows he's false. It's just business. Secondly, he can be false because he doesn't know better. He's ignorant. He learned the tricks of the trade. He doesn't realize that's not how things are supposed to be. That is the second type of false prophet. You're getting what I'm going to explain there. All right? Now, this is what happens to false prophets. This is how you know them. Anybody who points a finger at another human being in trying to diagnose the source of your problems is false. I don't care how genuine he looks. The best allowance I'm ready to make is to say that prophecy is false. The man himself is not false. I know some of you are surprised to hear that because you are used to many great ministers who every time are pointing at uncles and aunties, yet they never are able to get deliverance for anybody. A man comes and tells you, there are people that don't like you. You should be nice if he's younger than you. You understand? Tell him, don't be stupid. You, does everybody like you? How come you don't have my problem? If he's older than you, just excuse me, sir. with all due respect, I mean no disrespect, I can't accept that. He said, there are people that don't like me. Is there anybody that everybody likes? When Barack Obama was coming to office, he was the most popular American president. Right now, he's the least popular they've ever seen. Somebody doesn't like you, so what? There are people that don't like me, yet I don't have your problem. Do you understand my point? There are people, all right, that don't like other people and they don't have my problem. So you cannot say because somebody doesn't like me, that's why I'm having issues. Oh man, when Satan, you know, I told the Satan, the power he has is to tempt people. When Satan wanted to tempt him back into poverty, my wife knows what I'm talking about. He started insulting his bosses and his seniors. He said they are jealous of his success. That they have already said it in their church. That there will be people that will be jealous of their success. So you need to go to church to know that human beings will be jealous of your success. It's a normal part of life. If you buy a new shirt, somebody is angry. In fact, the man who wanted to buy it before you bought it is angry. He's hoping it will tear. Are you getting my point? But God, knowing people like us, we gather one day. You know what he said? Let me give you a scripture to solve all of that. I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. That is, the fact that you don't have a table is not because you have enemies. It's because it has not been prepared. Enemies don't stop the preparation of your table. When God wants to pour a blessing upon you, he's not afraid of enemies. And like I say all the time, you don't need all of them to die. Because if every one of your enemies die, there will be no fulfillment of that psalm. How will God fulfill the prophecy when he says that I have to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies? When they're all dead. What am I going to say? Let no prophet try to emphasize to you that the source of your troubles is somebody else. Even when you see physical trouble, and you see that this my boss does not like me, and he has jumped me over in promotion 3 times now, I'm saying to you again this evening, that is not the source of your troubles. Your boss does not like you, and God was not able to override him to promote you, means you are not due for promotion. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your boss does not like you, and God could not transfer him and have him replaced so you could be promoted, means you are not yet due. That is a matter of fact. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about people. My emphasis again is look inwards. Make sure you learn what is right to do. Nobody can stop your progress when God is ready for you. God will jump over them. God will. He will. So if he hasn't, you have to settle down and say, what is my problem here? What is my problem here? What am I not doing right? You see, that's the problem. When you have this accusing, finger out, that it's not my fault, it is theirs, you will be on the same spot for a long time. That's what I want to emphasize. If you keep on thinking it is not my fault, it is them. Even though, take an example now. You know all this persecution of Christians in the north and all of that? Yes, we can point at Islamists for being the one who want to fight Christianity. But I keep on telling myself that our God is not sleeping. No. He's not weak. Oh. Why is it that it looks like his hands are shortened that he cannot deliver? We should ask ourselves. I will leave that one there. We should ask ourselves. But my message for you today is, listen, don't ever look outside. Look inside. How to change your life. Your life will not wait for somebody to die before it changes. Are you getting what I'm saying? Your life has to change even while your enemies are alive. And it's a false prophet whose God is powerless that thinks that he has to identify for you who your enemy is before you can make progress. I give you a direct commandment today. Stop going to the places where they identify your enemies for you. Read through the scriptures. You understand? You will not find the apostles do that. You won't find Jesus Christ do that. When he wants to deliver people, he doesn't care who put them in bondage. Who's seen that this one should be born blind? Say, what does it matter? As long as I walk the walk of him that sent while it is day, the man will see. Do you get my point? Go and read the scriptures. Now, this is the second thing I was saying about a false prophet. A false prophet is a person who points at your accusing finger at your enemies and does not make a demand of your own righteousness. Once I was with somebody, a businesswoman. He said, have you heard? They have found a witch that's worrying my business. If it's now, I won't be so nice. So those days I was much younger than this. I'm telling you something that happened close to 20 years ago. So if you look at, I'm not an old man yet. So subtract 20 years for whatever my age might be right now. You say I was much younger. You understand what I'm saying? So I didn't have the boldness I have right now. Experience gives you boldness. If I had, I would have said, madam, the prophet didn't see that you're a liar. The prophet did not notice that you are dishonest. He's so blind. All he can see is the witch. And let me say something to you quickly. Most lying prophets, no, did I say most? I would almost. Many lying prophets actually see visions. Do you know that? They see real visions. They are not lying in the vision that they saw. The vision is just a lie. Again, let's go down deeper further into it. There are two types of lying prophets. There are those that don't see anything at all. They just close their eyes and they pray. Father, your son has come with all these troubles. You, Jehovah, man of war, you will deliver him. Deliver him. God, pray for your own son by yourself. I don't even know what to pray. You may find it funny, but that's actually how some of them pray. They say, Lord, pray for your son. They will be praying to God to pray for you. I'm telling you, they do that. And after a while, you came for a vision. He has to see one for you. And he starts doing diagnosis. Do you have a grandmother? You start wondering, did my parents jump down from the sky? He said, prophet, I had four. Two are dead. That's four grandparents. Two are dead. Which one is alive? Says my grandmother. She doesn't want you to do well. And you're like, how can she not want me to do well? I send her money every month. She doesn't think the money is enough. That's the problem. You have been giving her too much money. But she doesn't think it's enough. She wants your downfall. She's a witch. Just by the way, this is one of the ways by which Satan kills people. That woman is the only person who has been praying for you because you're a wicked soul. In the market, you've cheated people. They've said God punish you. They've said it. You sold them one cheap Chinese phone that broke down after 6 days. And they don't want cash again you all over the corner. The only person who still prays for you is that old woman you send money to. Satan said, time to break this young man's back. So it does that, you start sending him her money. So she starts praying for you. That's one kind of false prophet. I'm not emphasizing. That's one type. He didn't see any vision. He's lying. He now tells you, of course, how do you do it? You will go on the 7 days fast and 14 days prayer. You know, say, but I have to go to work. So you know what he tells you? Well, if you can't fast, we can reduce the fast to 2 days. I have some men here who will fast for you. Am I lying? They do it. So instead of fasting for 7 days, what you do is that you pay 2,000 naira for each of the days. You fast for 2 days, the men here will do 5 days for you. I heard of one young man, this Enugu, that was his profession. Some of you wake up in the morning, you go to the market to go and buy and sell. Some of you go to civil service work to go and work. Some of you go to, you know, you go to your to school to go and read. He goes out to go and fast. And people pay him to fast. And he actually used to fast. You know how I know? Because one day he died. All the people's problems he has been begging for came upon him. And then he died. This really happened though. Well, I'm not giving it as a joke. He died. So the prophet does that. You pay him 10,000 naira. You think it's not much money. He has 18 clients like you. 180K one day. Who would they make 180K for one day? We not prosper. You go buy a motor. He's been using your money to build a house. He's selling ignorance. That's one group of false prophets. There's another group. This one, as they close their eyes, they see a vision. They look at you, they tell you, last time you went to the village, your grandmother was sitting on a stool. Your father made that stool for her when her back was paining her like 6 years ago. Say, it is true. The day she got that stool, she sat on it and said, "These children of this man who made this stool will never go forward again in life." And of course, because you are a sinner and you are a stupid person, you believe it. You will refuse to go and learn the word of God. You have never heard of familiar spirits. So any prophet that prophesies anything, once it looks like truth, you accept it. Because he saw a vision. And it is because you are afraid yourself. And I'm telling you, the reason why you are afraid is because you're a sinner. The prophet saw that vision, does not make it true. I do not have time now. I would have gone through the scriptures to let you know that lying spirits see visions. You know the story of Ahab. When God said, "Who will entice Ahab that he might go to Ramoth Gilead and die there?" A lying spirit said, "I will." He said, "How will you do it?" "I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets." So a spirit came. When God said, "Go forth and succeed," a spirit came down, entered into the mouth of those prophets, and they began to prophesy under inspiration. And everything they said was a lie. They said, "You will go there. You will scatter them. You will scatter them. Holy Ghost fire will go with you." All that shaking was not a lie. A spirit possessed them. They went there. Holy Ghost fire did not scatter them. The fire of God scattered him. He died. The only prophet that had the truth in his mouth, who was able to prophesy the truth because of the presence of Jehoshaphat, said, "I see Israel scattered abroad like sheep without shepherd." He said, "Put him in a prison until I come back from my battle victorious." He said, "If you come back, I am not a man of God." The fact that the prophet saw a vision does not make him true. A lying prophet sees visions a lot of times. And only stupid Christians who will not agree to walk in righteousness follow them. A prophet that cannot say, "My brother, this is what the word of God says about you. Confess your sins and repent of them. Believe the word of God." If you will not do that, you are the one begging to be deceived. If you can't focus on that, you are looking for visions. I guarantee you in life you will be deceived. Your life cannot change by going from one prayer house to the other. I said something before in Kingdom One we're preaching. Let me say to everybody here, anybody who goes from one prayer house to another, that person's life will be thoroughly confused all the time. I'm not praying a bad prayer for you. You know, that's your experience if you have been going there. Let me quickly say something. Something just came to my mind. I should quickly drop it. You can go to 5 prayer houses and they prophesy the same thing. It doesn't make them right. You know how, why they were able to prophesy the same thing? I'll tell you. Because the same spirit was following you about. Once it gets to where you are, it jumps into their mouths and lies to you. He said, "You shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free." The truth shall make you free. It is not the truth of, "I will soon know who is afflicting me." No, I will know the truth of what God said about me. Oh, this is the testimony. I like 2 stories I've told so many times, but I need to tell them one more time. Because they are so appropriate to explain these things. Derek Prince was praying for a woman that used to see visions because she was a medium. She had familiar spirits. She wanted to be delivered of that operation. And you see that in the Bible. Paul once delivered a young girl that had a familiar spirit. And as soon as he began to pray, the lady had a vision and said, "I see you in a red car that crashed against a tree." I know, it's just, "I see you in a car." I'm not sure it's red now. Let me not mix the stories. And then the queen just answered her calmly, "Oh, that, don't worry about it. That is the plan of the devil, and I don't walk in the plan of the devil." She saw a real vision. She saw it. I mean, she was giving her life to Christ and wanted to be delivered of the evil spirit that's following her. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, she wasn't trying to lie to him. She actually saw a vision. And the queen said to her calmly, "That is the plan of the devil, and I don't walk in the plan of the devil." No prayer. No, let us remember about it. Nothing. That was just the end of it. I told you the story. I sat in my house and a bat appeared out of nowhere. As far as I was concerned, this bat can be explained. One thing I'm sure of is that it's not a witch. I was in my room, by bedroom. 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 And my wife was lying down on the bed with telling stories. One early evening, she just said, "Hey, see bat." I said, "Eh? Where is it?" And when I saw the bat, I said, "Eh." She said, "It has entered the wardrobe." I'm not sure I saw the bat, but it entered the wardrobe, so I went and closed the wardrobe. Why? Because Bishop and his wife came to visit us, and they were downstairs. So I said, "I have visitors, so bat, wait here. When I finish my visitors, we'll discuss what you are looking for in my bedroom." It didn't cross my mind to use the African mentality that they have come. Who is they? By the time our visitors left, I told them we have a witch upstairs. When they were leaving, we went upstairs. I opened the door of the wardrobe, trapped it inside a closed basket, and gave it to my cousin. Say, "Please, go and bring through the bat away." It missed its way. I told my wife, "You're very lucky to say they go MFM. You for pray today. You for pray. Your mouth for bend." Holy Ghost fire will have had to collect kerosene to increase the flame. The blood of Jesus will have to flow extra. And the children sleep. How can you sleep? You won't sleep. For what? When your enemies are not sleeping. Is that not what they tell us every day? All of you, you will pray. That's, we've killed the battle. It's around the corpse we will be praying. Waiting for it to change to the woman that she was originally. And after you have prayed the whole night, it doesn't change. You will still go to church next day and testify. Praise the Lord. Brethren, pray, "Hey, my God is able to kill a bat." Bat. But calmly, what did we do? We tossed away the bat alive. "Go your way." Much later, my children said that, "Oh, they saw a lot of bats outside. Apparently, they were changing location. One of them meets his way and entered into our house." That's all that happened. Some people see black cats. They know they sleep again. As a bank, you don't believe in witches. Like I always say, I don't care about witches. It's not whether I believe in them or not. I know they exist. I've had enough testimonies to know such things exist. They do. I'm just saying that witches and I, we respect each other. They don't come to my house, I don't go to their house. They don't afflict me, I don't afflict them unless they cross a line, and I afflict them with the preaching of my gospel. We don't disturb each other. Their name is Satan. They have looked at the hedge of God around my life, and they have understood that it's a no-go area. So what if you have problems? I have had problems before. Problems are not a sign of a curse. It's only a sign you are alive and you are not yet dead. The day you stop having problems is the day they bury you. You join the ancestors like they say. You enter the grave, they cover it. Your corpse will not disturb anybody. Nobody will disturb your corpse. As long as you are alive, you will have troubles. That's why you are called an overcomer. There's no overcomer that does not overcome something. Are you getting my point? How can you be an overcomer if you are not overcoming? The sign that you are an overcomer is that you are overcoming. If you don't overcome something, you are not an overcomer. So the thing you are overcoming is a trouble, it's a problem. And like I always say, even Jesus had a problem. Not one, a few. By the time your anointing does not agree to flow, it's a problem. He went to his whole hometown. They did not believe in him. He could there do no mighty work. Doesn't mean witches have taken his power. Some people will go and say, there are witches in this congregation. They say, I won't preach today. It says their unbelief. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Listen, every child of God is a victor. Are you getting my point? And the witches are not the cause of our troubles. Back to what I was saying about the false prophet. A true prophet that never points to the person who is afflicting you. He only points to one thing, and that is the relationship between you and your God. I said my message today is titled what? The Law of Faith. And I must say, we must go into that. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now I want to read a scripture which will help us . Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. The main thing I wish to achieve when I was praying about these whole meetings, the primary thing I want to achieve, the Holy Spirit helping me, is just one thing. To make the children of God love the knowledge of God. Did you hear what I said? Yes. I want you to love to know God. I want you to love to understand the word of God. I went into everything, Hebrews chapter 4. I went into everything I said, just to remove us from this mentality that we often have of pointing fingers outward as the cause of our problems, instead of looking inwards at what God is saying about our relationship with Him. The Bible says, if the ways of a man, all right, please the Lord, even, it says, He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Doesn't mean the enemies will convert and become his friends. They will just have to live at peace, in the interest of peace. Are you getting my point? That's it. He says, He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Anybody who's waiting for the witch to confess before he makes progress is a sinner. Are you getting my point? I want you to understand, God did not design for a witch to confess first before you can make progress. He never designed it. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. Oh no, let me start from Hebrews chapter 3. I just felt like reading from verse 12. Please open your Bibles to it or share with somebody. Take care, he said, brethren, that there not be in any one of you, this is talking to Christians now, an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they heard? Please notice that. Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Please, I'll save time and jump. Verse 18 says, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of what? Because of what? Say it loud, please. They were not able to enter because of unbelief. He now said that, therefore, the next verse, let us fear, if while the promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. He said, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. I want to note that. The word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Verse 3 says, For we who have believed enter that rest. Just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter. I'm jumping now verses, please. It's now said that I want to go somewhere. Let's go down to verse 10. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works. That's chapter 4, verse 10. As God did from his. He now said, therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall, he says, through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Please, I'm going to stop there. I needed to get to that verse 12, because it said, the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, there's another scripture I should quickly read, because it will help us. That's from the book of Romans. It just complements this. The book of Romans, chapter 10. Again, so as to save time, I'll jump here and there.